Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the debut episode of OVW Overview right here on the GWH Radio Network, of course, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Yes, we are back, and of course, I am Trent Van Dries, and this is going to be a monthly podcast about OVW, good old Ohio Valley Wrestling. And why are we doing this? We're doing this because, folks, life is too short to waste it watching crappy wrestling. Everybody knows about OVW from back in the good old days when they were part of WWE developmental program. All the big stars, John Cena, Randy Orton, Batista, all the big stars that were turned up by OVW. Of course, they lost their deal in 2008. Well, guess what, kids? OVW is still around. They're still alive and kicking in Louisville, Kentucky at the Davis Arena every single week, Wednesday night TV tapings, once a month Saturday night specials. And, you know, I've heard Brian Alvarez on a lot of podcasts, you know, talking about how terrible wrestling is nowadays, how terrible the WWE is nowadays, how terrible TNA is nowadays. Well, that may all be true, but folks, you know, there's still some good wrestling out there if you're willing to go look for it. You know, ROH is good, some people like Chikara, PWG out of California. There's a lot of things to look for, but don't forget about Ohio Valley Wrestling. Now, a lot of you listen to this, I'm probably preaching to the choir, but if not, you know, give it a chance. I would dare say that right now Ohio Valley Wrestling is maybe the best weekly episodic wrestling show going. I can say that without fear of contradiction in my own mind because they have the storylines. They have good young talent. The guys are in shape. They have gear. It's just a fun wrestling show to watch. So what we're going to do once a month here is talk about OVW in its current form, and that's pretty much the plan. And let me introduce my co-hosts. First of all, the guy running the switchboard, the man living in Norcross, Georgia, because somebody has to live there. Oh, pal, Scary Larry Goodman. How you doing, Larry?
Doing fine. A very nice introduction you gave there. I couldn't agree more. OVW is one of the few hours of wrestling television that I make a point to watch each week. I think it's been on a tremendous comeback trail over the last year, and I'm really glad just to be a part of this.
As a matter of fact, Larry, I mean, I know you've mentioned that, you're like a lot of people. Like, your state of mind of pro wrestling nowadays is pretty low, isn't it? Like a lot of people's, I'm sure.
I'm afraid it is. I watch TNA because I know some people there, and I watch OVW and Rampage down here in Georgia and Saw in Nashville, and that's really about it. WWE I've basically given up on. But, yeah, OVW I watch every week.
Yeah, you know, it's and watch something like that that's good, then enjoy it. I mean, that's, you know, that's great. You know, I'm like a lot of people, too. I mean, I still have not totally kicked my WWE Raw habit. I quit watching TNA a while back. Once in a while, I'll take TNA. But after a while, you know, it's like, why watch something if it's terrible just out of habit? After a while, you just got to say, man, I got to watch nothing or find something that's good. You know what I mean, Larry? Just got to.
Yeah, when the TV's on and I'm not really paying attention, it's time to do other things, you know?
Yeah, you know. And let me introduce our other co-host. We actually have a man very familiar with OVW because he's an OVW star himself, one of the main stars of OVW. A man who Dave Meltzer said looks like Juventud Guerrero with a turban. Folks, I give you Muhammad Ali Baez. How you doing, Ali?
I am doing fantastic, Trent. Thank you very much for having me on. Larry, thank you very much for having me be a part of this show. And yes, I am the man who looks like Juventud Guerrero, who is in his 20s and is not a believable Middle Easterner. And I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Hey, Ali, and I guess we'll, and Larry, let me know when our special guest today, folks, is also going to be another OVW star who's going to be joining us today, none other than Jamin Olivencia. So, Larry, let me know when he gets on the line, okay?
As a matter of fact, our guest has joined us.
He has?
Yes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to another OVW star. I'm speaking of Jamin Olivencia, Jamin Olivencia, Jamin Olivencia. Jamin, how are you doing?
I'm good. You know, you say my last name very well. Thanks.
Well, I've heard you say it a few times, so that's good. You know. So.
How you guys doing today? Thanks for having me.
Good. How you doing, Jamin?
Doing well.
Doing good, man. Enjoying my Sunday.
Yeah, well, I've got you on a good Sunday because I noticed the Buffalo Bills are actually off today, so this is a good day to get you, isn't it?
Yeah, they need it off. They need it off after last week, man.
but they're having a good year by their standards. So.
Yeah, they're doing well this year. They're doing well this year. There's no complaints. Growing up and seeing four Super Bowls in a row and then, you know, coming all the way, you know, fast-forwarding to this year, there's no complaints.
Yeah. Well, if anybody, most people are going to listen to this show on the archives downloaded, but if anybody is listening live and wants to call in with a question or a comment, please feel free, number 347-324-5735. And guys, I'll get to OVW in just a second here, but since I got Jamin and Ali both on the line, I guess I'll go with you first, Ali. What was your overall take of the AWE pay-per-view you appeared on this past Saturday, the 15th? And you had a match with none other than Hacksaw Jim Duggan. What was your thoughts on the show and your match? Hello?
Elf, who's pretty much below the radar as far as mainstream wrestling is concerned. It was an awesome opportunity for me to show that if they give me the ball, I'll hit a home run with it 95% of the time. The other 5% of the time, I'll hit a grand slam out of the park with it. So I'm a pretty safe investment, I think, is what came out of that awesome opportunity that we got at that AWE pay-per-view. Now I just have to work on being a believable Persian. But once I get that down, the sky's the limit, guys, I'm telling you.
So this comment that Meltzer made saying you weren't a believable Arab really, really, really stuck in your craw, didn't it?
You know, I gotta tell you, man, that was the last thing I was expecting to hear. I was expecting to hear 100 other things other than he's not a believable Middle Easterner. But, you know, you can't win them all, Trent. You can't win them all.
Well, he did say you were a good talker. I think he said that because you were just speaking, you know, regular English with no accent or anything like that. I guess that's why he said that, I'm guessing.
I mean, it's inconceivable that somebody from the Middle East would be able to speak English without an accent.
Right,
exactly. It's like me being able to go to the airport and not get harassed.
And if it makes you feel any better, Ali, I did email Mr. Meltzer, and I did say you were 100% Iranian, that you were from Kentucky and your parents were from Iran. I did say that his Juventud Guerrero and turban line was one of the greatest things I've ever heard. So,
thank you. I appreciate the fact that he thought I was in my early 20s. So if anything came out of that, that was that.
Well, I could really tell that that Duggan was comfortable working with you. Just watched the match, and I taped it. If you guys ever want it, I'll give it to you. Yeah, I could just tell that Duggan was really – I could just tell that Hexa had no problem working with you at all. So.
Man, and what an honor it is. I mean, I grew up watching Hacksaw do battle with the Iron Sheik, and I mean, just to be in the ring with a guy like that who's so comfortable and has done so much over 32 years, it was really, it's like a dream come true. You know, there are a few guys that you would hope that you would get the opportunity to work with at least one time, and for me, on my list, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was definitely on that list. And I definitely look forward to working with him again.
Cool deal. How about you, Jamin? You had a match at AWE pay-per-view with Sanjay Dutt, which you were victorious, and almost every report on the Internet said that was the best match of the whole entire show. A lot of people were very impressed with your performance. What was your take of your match and the show there in general?
I thought the AWE pay-per-view was very good. You know, aside from a few things, obviously, everyone has their opinions, but, you know, I can only speak for us and OVW and what we did on the show and what we presented to that show, and I think we gave those people that did there and paid their money and also purchased the pay-per-view, I think we gave them the show that they deserved, at least from our standpoint, you know. As far as working with Sanjay, he's a phenomenal athlete. He's a phenomenal guy, and I had a great time working him too. And it was, you know, it's nice when you can go against people, I don't want to say at your level, but your understanding, be able to knock it out of the park and have a good time doing it. That's really my whole thing. You know, as a performer, I'm always worried about making sure the people that are watching me, or, you know, at least me out of everyone, is going to be entertained by what I do. So if they're not entertained by what I do, then, you know, I'm not doing my job at all. So.
Yeah, you guys all did a good job. And in addition to Jamin and Ali, also Alex Silva wrestled the pay-per-view against Finley. And what was a very, very strange match. And referee Chris Sharp worked the show. But I must say, all you OVW guys acquitted yourself very, very well on the show. You guys all look like you belonged. Nobody looked nervous or scared. Everybody looked relaxed. And I just think that's a product of you guys, you know, doing the weekly TV and stuff, all the stuff you do. You guys are just so, you're kind of like a well-oiled machine. You know what I mean? You guys are ready to go.
Can I quote Rip Rogers here?
Go ahead. Please quote Rip Rogers. Yes.
Fucking prepared.
Yeah, there's not many situations we walk in where we're nervous or we're feeling, questioning yourself. In my opinion, we're the best right now in the United States. We're the best in the world, you know. Going out there, whether it's on pay-per-view television, whether it's in front of, 50,000 people, whether it's in front of two people, it's never a sweat, you know, that's going to break from our head. So it's a lot of fun, you know. This is what we were made to do, you know. This is why we do it well.
Yeah, and just talking about OVW TV, I'm just a curiosity question. I guess I'll start with you, Jamin, is how competitive are you guys getting each time, and how far out do you know in advance, you know, if you're going to get time each week and who you're going to be working?
Are you talking for OVW?
Yeah, for the TV, for the weekly TV, yeah.
Oh, you know, sometimes I don't even know until, we don't even know until maybe the show starts, you know, sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, with TV, just like anything, things are always switching on the fly. So, you can go there and you'd be like, oh, this might happen tonight, but then, you know, something switches or, you know, sometimes it could be improv and, to be honest with you, I like that. I like being put in those situations. Going back to what Ali said about Rip Rogers, you know, we're overprepared. So if we're, you know, placed in a position that, you know, that, ha- you know, a situation better yet, that, that it just so happens to happen that way, then, you know, we're prepared to handle it, in the correct way. So, sometimes you know ahead of advance, sometimes you don't, you know. It just really depends.
Are you guys competitive about getting TV time? Is that like a big deal? If somebody gets time and you don't, are you kind of grumpy, or do you see it that way, or what?
What was the question?
I'll take this question. No, not really. I mean, the guys who understand business and the guys who've been around for a while, No, I don't think we get grumpy about TV time. You just got to understand the ebb and flow of storytelling, and you can't have a character who's consistently overexposed, so to speak, because then the marquee of that character kind of diminishes and loses a little bit of star power. I don't think I've been on OVW TV in like 6 or 7 weeks, but I don't need to be, because I've got 3-4 years of an investment on that television show, and I'm coming off a huge feud with Michael Hayes. So for me personally, do I get upset if I'm not on TV every week? No, absolutely not. I'm usually used in some kind of capacity, so nonetheless, to me it's not a big deal at all. And, you know, as my time wanes, as far as being on the sidelines temporarily, you know, I'll get put back into the mix. Somebody else will be taken out of the rotation, and that's just the constant flow to try to keep it fresh. Because at the end of the day, it's not about Muhammad Ali Vaez. It's about the Ohio Valley Wrestling product, and you've got to be able to cycle people in and out as it makes sense.
Right. And you guys do a good job of keeping it fresh. Go ahead, Draymond. Well, Ali, since we were talking about your big feud with Michael Hayes, I'd like to get your thoughts on how that series of matches went. You know, at first you won the first several matches, and then you lost the last several. And then last I heard, Hayes was injured. Can you give us an update there, too?
Yes. Unfortunately, Michael did get injured at our last outing, which, you know, these things happen, and I tried to tell him from the start that if you mess with the bull, you better be prepared for the horns. And unfortunately, Michael Hayes experienced the horns. He and Mr. Media, Cliff Compton, they may have won the battle, but guess who won the war, Trent? I did, just like I said I would. But I'm very pleased with my work with Michael and how that turned out. I mean, I've had the privilege of working with a lot of guys during my run at OVW over the last few years. And while certain guys were limited due to experience or due to, you know, whatever the factors were, working with Michael was such an opportunity because, number one, and we talked about during my last interview, but anybody who sees him can instantly identify and understand where he's coming from with what he's had to go through in his life. So his quote-unquote overness just allows me to do what I do that much easier. It makes it that much more of a, I guess, that much more of a dastardly villain that I'm able to work with a legitimate war hero who has one leg. And then from an actual work
Hey, out.
Trent.
Okay.
We lost
him. Can you hear me, Larry?
Yeah.
I'm here.
You there, Jamin?
Yes, sir.
I guess
yeah,
Ali's still
we
babbling
lost
about,
Baez there.
He's still babbling about Michael Hayes. Well, Jamin.
Well, what a sucker he was. He couldn't answer the question straight. That's what happened. He got scared.
You got to love Live
Oh,
Radio.
My phone died. Oh, my phone died. Yeah, okay.
No, he's actually on the road. He said, coming back from his parents' house, is what he said.
Right, right.
He'll call back in. Well, Jamin, let's go ahead and ask you about. You just had an incredible recent feud, I guess I would say, with Rudy Switchblade. You guys really just brought the hatred. Just brought the hatred. What are your thoughts of that program?
You know, this was one of the more different programs I've ever had, you know, in my career. Working with Rudy was was very different, and reason being is because let's go back to the beginning. Me and Rudy were always really competitive with each other. I'm talking when we used to train, everything. So we always had this natural competitiveness to one another, and I think that showed in the ring too when you put us together. I think us trying to prove ourselves really shined through. And there was a point even I believe we went to Australia. It was when we were in Australia. Me and Rudy got into it for real. And
wow.
Yeah, it was over there in Australia. And you know, it was there was a lot of tension. So when I came, so when we both came back, you know, we had this tension, and we were kind of getting along, you know, it was just, and it was mainly our egos, you know, but then, you know, we started working this program, we continued working on this program, and I think a lot of that tension came out in the ring a lot of times, you know.
Mm.
And now, you know, fast forwarding, you know, we actually have a very good mutual respect for one another, because we've done such a great job. But I mean, you know, it was an awkward time, because when we were going, every time we were in the ring or any time we're wrestling, you know, we're beating the shit out of each other. So, you know, basically put it in the best words, you know. So, but I overall think it was a phenomenal, I think we had a phenomenal story that we told, and I think we did it well. And he's a phenomenal athlete. Rudy's, I'm telling you right now, Rudy's a future superstar in the business. He's really come into his own. I think by him, turning heel, he's really put himself in a position now where he can really show a lot of his true talents as a performer. So, it's been great working with Rudy. You know, he's a complete badass, legitimately, and it's been a pleasure just working with him in general.
And the whole thing with him turning heel is one of the great things about WWE is their storytelling is in his mind, and he was right. You know, all these years he never did anything wrong, and then when he ended up having to give his license back and go with Ali, nobody supported him, and that's kind of was the genesis of
the
story.
Yeah, I think that's where the appeal was. They, you know, people, some people were siding with me, and some people were siding with Rudy, and there was no right or wrong, and I think that's what made it so organic too. It just kind of, you know, it bloomed very well, and I think, like I said, I think a lot of that. I think a lot of it came out, and I think people felt that emotion too, and I think that's why we did so well and it was so successful.
Yeah, and you mentioned getting the shit beat out of each other. I mean, I think it was after the street fight, Matt, Saturday Night Special.
Oh yeah, we always. I think we did that
your
every
mouth
time.
Was busted open, your eye was busted. It's like, my God, you look like a MMA fighter after that thing, you know. So.
Well, yeah, you know, and like I said, Rudy's a legitimate badass. So I mean. To go toe-to-toe with him in that situation is it's a bit challenging, but, you know, hey, I'm Jamin Olivencia, and I'm also a badass too. So.
Right. It came across, and you finally, you know, won the quit match. What was the in those wake-up call videos that Rudy did? Man, those were just fantastic. And then, of course, you had your answer at the end. What was the idea behind
I guess
video?
That was his little campaign, you know, building up to the I Quit matches. I think he was even doing them beforehand, right? I mean, like I said, I think by Rudy getting to really show his true self, you know, I think as a performer, Rudy hasn't he never really got to develop into what he wanted to be or what he at least envisioned. And I think through our contests back and forth, I think that opportunity came where he can really just be himself, you know. And I don't even want to say Rudy's a bad guy, you know. I don't even want to say he's a good guy either, but he's himself. And I would say the same thing about myself as well, you know. When we go out there and we perform, we're being ourselves, you know. And I think that's an important thing, you know, and being a good performer, you know. And I think Rudy, going back to Rudy's videos that he's been making, I think that's just all of this art, you know, coming out finally, you know. This is the best I've ever seen Rudy, me personally, and, you know, I don't know how he would feel about that or how anyone else would feel about that, but I think this is the best work he's ever shown, so.
Yeah, because in the past, you know, some of his promos I thought were just so, but this stuff, he's just been, boy, spot on. And I'll tell you, too, you know, sitting there watching those matches, I've had the same thought, and Jamin, I've actually heard people comment in the crowd just like how you guys are just, like, completely evenly matched. Could be anybody's match, you know, those matches, you guys are just... You're just dead heat. You know what I mean? They could go either way, any one of them. So,
yeah, like I said, it was a touchy situation. We both had real tension, you know. So it shined through. You know, it doesn't mean we don't get along all the way, but I mean it was you know, that competition, that competitiveness was always there. So, you know, when you're in a position like that, it's going to show no matter what, you know. Sometimes you can't hide emotions. And I think it really, I think it really displayed when we went at it, you know.
It sure did.
And
we got
funny, now,
got
and now fast forwarding, we actually get along very well. So it's kind of funny how something like that can, you know, bring, you know, a friendship, I guess, together.
Wow. Have we got Ali back on, Larry? I don't hear the highway sound. Is he still in limbo?
He is back. I just have him muted, but he's back.
Okay, bring Ali back on here.
All right.
Ali, are you avoiding questions by saying that your phone died?
Listen, Jamin, I don't know about you, but when big-time stars sign contracts to do podcasts, we limit ourselves to 19 minutes at a time before we need a break. Maybe you need to talk to your agent and renegotiate your contract since you've been on here for 26 minutes.
I renegotiated my contract when I beat you a few months ago at SNS, so I think I reset for the future. I don't know about you, though. I think you're still trying to figure out a deal you can find that someone's going to be able to pay you.
I don't think anybody remembers that match, Jamin. I don't remember it either.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't want to start anything between you two gentlemen, but to my mind, you guys have never had, like, the ultimate who's a better man match between you two, in my mind. I'm just saying.
That's because all the boys in the back already know, and that's why we don't need to have it.
Oh!
Nice.
I apologize that I got booted from the call earlier, but you know, cell phones, these things happen.
Yeah, well, the last thing you were saying, Ali, was you were talking about the actual specific in-ring work with Michael Hayes. That's when you got cut off. So,
I'm sorry. When did I cut off? What was the last thing I said?
You were talking about Michael Hayes, you know, working with him and, you know, being over with the crowd, but you were talking about the actual specific in-ring work with him. That's a point you got to draw.
Just to go back to that point, I mean, to be able to go out there with a guy like has the challenges that he has, be able to still do something that's a coherently logical story as far as I think speaks volumes, not about necessarily me, but about Ohio Valley Wrestling and about Rip Rogers' ability to train anyone who is willing to learn on how to work with anybody, no matter what they are. I mean, I don't care if somebody has three legs, I can work with them. And I think that as far as, you know, besides being very personally satisfying this feud with Michael Hayes, that opportunity to be able to go out there and do that just, I think, further emphasizes the value of the education that I got at OVW. And I'll also say that I think my match with Hacksaw from last week on the pay-per-view was, again, the exact same thing, because you've got a guy who is a legend in this business, and all he has to do is stick his thumb up and the crowd erupts. But he's not 30 years old anymore either. So it's such a performer, I think, who's able to work with anybody no matter who they are. And the last point I'll make is that I really wish I had invested in some Michael Hayes t-shirts, because those things sell like crazy. And I'd like to thank myself on Michael's behalf for making that possible.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, you mentioned, you know, Michael Hayes being over and making, you know, your job easier. And, you know, Michael Hayes being over probably made you a more believable Persian in the long run, don't you think? So.
I absolutely, because, you know, most Persians don't speak so eloquently as I do, and they're not as jacked and tanned and headless. So, you know, certainly it's very confusing, too, what with the Juventud Guerrero and Trent Acid references that I always seem to get. Those are the two that I'm compared to physically, so I guess neither of them were Persian either, so.
Well, Have you got any comments so far, Larry, before I go on?
A couple things. Well, I love the Trent Acid. I could actually see the Trent Acid more than the Guerrero in a lot of ways. But
yeah, Larry, I don't think Juventud Guerrero is a good-looking guy at all. I don't see Juventud Guerrero. He's like 5'5". You know, I don't see anything as far as that goes. Now, Trent Acid was a good-looking kid, so, you know, that is more, I think, relevant. But anyway, sorry to cut you off.
No, that's okay. Just the two things I was going to say is, one is that, yeah, if somebody would have told me we're going to do OVW is going to do a storyline involving a guy who only has one leg, and they're going to actually have matches that are credible and get over with the crowd, I would have said that's nuts. But it's been wonderful to see. I mean, it's great stuff. And the other thing I want to say is to Jamin was the thing that got me about your program with Switchblade was the darkness that came out in both of you that was really unexpected, and you gave some background as to like why that was the case, but yeah, it really came through in spades on the TV, both in the ring and in the interviews, I thought.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, going back, yeah, it's just we had that tension. It all started in Australia. That's where it really started, and like I said, we were always so competitive. And there was never, you know, there was never a problem between me and him. We always had a, you know, mutual respect, but when we were in Australia, that one time, Ali, I don't even know if you remember it, or if you even saw it, me and Ali got into it, or me and Rudy got into it about something stupid, if I remember correctly. And when we had to come back to Louisville, you know, we're working this program, and at this point now we kind of have, like, we have this hatred for each other almost, this tension. And like I said, it definitely came through on television, you know. And it was funny because after we're done with the you know, doing a thing, we walk back and we don't even talk to each other. Just like, yep, thanks. So it was kind of there was some tension there for quite some time.
That's, you know, and you guys, I may ask both you guys too, because Ali spoke about, you know, storylines and TV time being rotated in and out. You guys have finished these programs, and I was just thinking of, like, all the guys that are stars in OVW that right now it's unclear where they're going to go next with their characters. I'm talking, like, Paradise, you, Jamin, Rudy Switchblade, you, Ali, James Moose Thomas, Cliff Compton, Alex Silva, Mike Mondo. All you guys are kind of, like, in limbo right now. And I'll ask you first, Jamin, where are you going next in OVW?
I'm sorry. You know, my phone cut out. What was the question? It was going in and out for some reason.
Who's your next big fight in OVW, Jamin? Who are you going to take on next? Or what are you looking for?
You know, I have no idea. You know, to be honest with you, I'm kind of, I don't even know what's going to happen, but I'm looking at Jason Wayne, of course, because I think I should be the heavyweight champion, obviously. I am the best in OVW right now, so. There you go. You like that one, Ali? No, I really would like to work with Jason Wayne. I'd like to work with Mike Mondo. You know, Chris Silvio. He's an up and coming star. Huh?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I like Chris Silvio a lot. I'm really into his character, and I think a lot of people are into him. I wouldn't mind doing a program with him. I mean, there's so many. You know. There's so many talented guys, you know, even Cliff Compton. I wouldn't mind, you know, tangling horns with him one or twice, you know, but there's so much talent, you know, and there's so much time, and, you know, a lot of this stuff can be shuffled around. So, you know, as far as that's concerned, I'm not in a hurry to do, you know, really get in the program with anybody, you know, specifically. Whoever comes my way, the bottom line is we're going to steal the show, and that's the way I see it, so.
Well, how about you, Ali, since you got to wrestle a two-legged man or three-legged man now, what direction are you heading, do you think?
Well, Trent, I'm in a unique position in that I've done so much at OVW. I've been Southern Tag Team Champion. I've been television champion. I've even wrestled Dean Hill in a steel cage. So there's not a lot left for me to accomplish. The one thing that I have not accomplished yet is I have not been the OVW Heavyweight Champion. Legitimately, one time I did steal the title. But I have not actually been the champion. And, you know, I think Jason Wayne and myself would be a good matchup because he's an American soldier and I'm not a real Persian. So that would be, I think that would make a good story. But really, at the end of the day, Trent, it doesn't matter who they pair me with because it's going to be good. And I like the fact that there's so many characters that are in limbo right now because that makes for exciting television. And over the next few weeks, as the chips fall where they may and some directions become apparent, I think there's going to be some good stuff in the line. But who I'm specifically going to be going up against next, I don't know. As of now, I do not have an opponent for the next Saturday night special. But, you know, if anybody wants to step up to the plate and get squashed, then that's fine. I have no problem doing that. You know, it'll be their pleasure for sure.
Well, you guys both mentioned Jason Wayne. So, you know, let's talk about Jason Wayne for a minute, the current OVW heavyweight champion, a former Marine, a big guy, a rookie. How do you think his title reign has gone so far, Ali? What's your take on Jason Wayne?
I think Jason Wayne is, you know, one of the guys in the locker room that has the most potential that has not been seen yet. As far as, you know, as a person, he's incredibly humble. He's a genuine good human being, which is very rare to find in the wrestling business. So because of that alone, I wish him all the success in the world. From a realistic standpoint, though, physically, he's very large. He's a charismatic guy. He has all the qualities that you would want in a top guy. So naturally, being the what I would like to consider the top heel on OVW, I think a marriage between he and myself would be pretty natural. But as far as his performance as champion, he's done very, very well with his limited experience in the role that he's given. And Jason is the type of guy who wants, he's a perfectionist, just like a lot of us are. And he has put heart and soul into everything that he has done, and he has definitely tried to seek out guys with experience like Vic Dinsmore and Rob Conway, guys who've been there and have made quite a good living in this business. He has sought out their advice, and Jason's the kind of guy where if he does something that doesn't work, or if he makes some kind of mistake, he fixes it the next time. He's not the kind of guy that you have to tell something to, you know, 5 or 6, 7 times before he corrects an issue. So it's a testament, I guess, to his intelligence, which combined with the fact that he's a good human being just makes him an all-around prospect. I think he's the perfect guy to be our quote-unquote top guy right now, just based on all those things and based on the fact that he's a fresh face that hasn't been seen, and I am positive that he will be a player in the business at large eventually, and he will be making a very good living doing this. So I think he's done very well.
I agree with Ali. I think I don't think I've met in a long time someone who is so fresh to the business and had such drive to keep on learning. And like Jason, he never lets up. He never gets lazy. And I think that shows too in his performances. You know, if you watch him progress as a performer, and we're talking from a performing aspect, he's always growing, he's always getting better, and he's always showing something different. And you know, going back to what Ali said, the reason why these things are happening, the reason why he's progressing, is because he's constantly asking people, you know, for advice. He's constantly looking for an alternative. You know, he's constantly doing things that he needs to be doing, I believe, as a performer, in order to get to that next level. And I think that's just showing in his work each and every time that he goes out there. And, you know, doing all that and being humble is, you know, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. So the spot he has right now with the company is definitely deserving. And I think he's earned it, and he's got my respect, you know.
Absolutely. And one thing that doesn't come through on that front is that while he does do a lot as far as TV goes, he is still, and still he's been champion now for, 7, 8 months, he still does the necessary media appearances that he has to do. He still goes to Rip Rogers' class twice a week, and he still goes to house shows and routinely work with the top heels in the company for 20 to 25 minutes several times a week. So, you know, he's a guy who has been given a ball, and he has made the most out of his run with that ball. And I think it definitely shows, especially if you saw him on day one when he first came in to the school like I did.
What's your take of Mr. Wayne, Larry?
The thing that jumps out to me is that he's been booked beautifully. And booked very strong, but he keeps rising to the occasion, and the crowd stays with him. In fact, just keeps getting more behind him. And if he wasn't, as you guys have been saying, he keeps improving, and so the crowd stays behind him strong all the way, and they never feel like he's overpushed.
I would agree with that and disagree with that. I mean, I think he's done a hell of a job, and just like Ali said, he's done great for his experience level. But like when they had him wrestle three times in one night, boy, and he did fine. Don't get me wrong, but that's just. I mean, I think they booked him well, but for a while they were in a pattern of leaving him laying all the time, and he's been kicking out a lot of people's finishers. Would be my only little blitz on it, but I think he's done well.
Yeah, I would argue, Trent, though, that if you're going to have anybody who is doing that, you would want it to be your top guy. And most part, I think he is the only person that is having three matches in one show and kicking out of people's finishers and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it just goes with the spot and with the character persona that they're trying to create for him, which to his credit, he's been able to deliver. But again, it's ebb and flow, and the whole thing is designed to give this rookie who has all the physical tools needed for success to give him that, I guess you could say, credibility for the day when the big bad heel comes along that is able to hang with him. Because then it means something. Then people are emotionally invested because they've seen all the trials and tribulations and how he rises to the occasion so that when he's actually truly in jeopardy, they think it'll mean more. And ultimately, the goal is to try to sell tickets. So I think in that regard, that story has taken 6, 7, 8 months to play out, but when it reaches its climax, I think it will definitely be worth the build-up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, where it goes. Like I said, I enjoy him, you know, but he's been a good champion. Well, let me ask you guys, you know, the reason he was wrestling three times in one night, for a while, OVW was big on dual title holders right now. We had Adam Revolver holding the tag team title and TV title at the same time. We had Jason Wayne holding the heavyweight title and TV title at the same time. I guess I'll ask you first, Jamin, as a six-time OVW television champion, what is your take on the dual title holder run recently in OVW?
You mean who keeps coming out through with the titles? Back and forth?
Yeah, when they got one guy holding two titles or even going for three titles at once.
Whatever. I mean, I was never the type of guy that, focused on that stuff. You know, I'm always, to be real with you, I'm always focusing on me. I'm always focusing on my work. Everyone else will do, everyone in OVW I have enough faith in. Everyone does a great job there. So, when stuff like that's happening or, you want to talk booking or storylines or whatever the fuck, I mean, in my opinion, it doesn't matter really. I'm always concerned about what I'm doing. So if, you're telling me I got to go out there and do something, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, So if someone's got two titles or whatever, I really don't give a shit, to be honest with you. If they feel like someone's good for a spot, then great, good for them, because someone felt at one point I was good for a spot, and that's why they did it, that's why they, they gave me titles or whatever. But, I mean, as a performer, I'm always just worried about my stuff, what can I do to make this product better? What can I do to make sure that these people leave tonight entertained, and that's all I can do, I was never the type of guy that can worry about the other stuff. It's just, that's just the way I am. So I don't know what Ali's take is on it, but.
Well, my take is I'm definitely the guy who had a countdown to, the date where I would have been the longest reigning television champion, and I definitely think that titles make or break you in this business because they're obviously real. But I'm saying that in jest now. I mean, you got to look at what the title is, and it's specifically a prop that's designed to get people interested in either a story or a character, or to elevate a certain character, or to create tension. If the cards may fall to where somebody has two titles, like, for instance, Adam Revolver, then I think I'm all for it because it's a chance to show that his character is more concerned about the glory of being a quote-unquote champion than he is about being a good human being or being, you know, an honest person or being a faithful person, so to speak. So in that instance, I don't even remember. I think they took it off of Paradise, right, for Adam Revolver. So when,
yes,
when the television title transitioned between Paradise and Adam Revolver, the, if you look at the pros and cons of that, speaking from a strictly booking standpoint, Paradise doesn't need the television championship. He is over. He comes out and gets an instant reaction no matter what he's doing or who he's facing. He's the kind of guy who gives credibility to the television title. Whereas Adam Revolver has a character who has been a tag team wrestler for the last 4 or 5 years, has never had a singles title run. So for him to get the rub of getting that television title from a character such as Paradise furthers his own story. So then the question is, well, what do you do with it once you put it on Adam Revolver? And the natural progression from that is, well, to take it off of him if it furthers his own storyline, which is exactly what happened. And in essence, it built into the Jason Wayne storyline of building this superhero babyface type character. So all in all, that's what the purpose of these titles are. Do I wake up every day wishing I was television champion? No, I don't care, just like Jamin. If it makes sense for my current story, then, you know, great. But if not, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I think right now, with it being on Rocco Bellagio, it's on the perfect person. Because Rocco, like Jason, is a guy who has enormous physical potential. I mean, he's just a massive guy. And he's gotten very good for how long he's been doing this because of the same reasons as Jason. So for them to transition that title from Paradise to Adam Revolver to Jason Wayne to Rocco Bellagio does nothing but builds up the persona of Rocco Bellagio because of the lineage of this title. I mean, we're talking about the same title that between Jamin and myself, we've held over 11 times. So clearly he's going to benefit from having that spot. But as far as dual titles and this and that and all that, I think a lot of people put too much emphasis on that kind of stuff for no reason. Yeah, sometimes I read these dirt sheets and they complain about John Cena being a champion. I mean,
yeah,
get real. He sells all the merchandise. I mean, of course he's a champion. He's the guy who's making all the money for WWE. So
yeah,
there are business aspects behind having that. But the whole reason why the title exists is to either elevate a character or to create some kind of tension in some kind of feud that's going to ultimately design to have people take money out of their wallet to buy a ticket to watch it.
What's your take, Larry, on the dual title situation?
Well, I thought it was an interesting storyline twist. You know, so it's sort of unexpected to have one guy holding two titles. But then it's even more unexpected when it shifts and you do it again and have someone else holding two titles. So I kind of like that. The other thing is, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but it seems to me with the major title, the heavyweight title, that OVW has been very careful about not moving it around too often or putting it on people that it shouldn't be on. So they keep their main title as an important storyline focus, as something that people really want to go after as a coveted prize.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and Ali, you may have just come 1 or 2 days short of being the longest reigning OVW TV champion, but I will say that Mr. Olivencia holds the record in OVW with 6 television title reigns.
Yeah, call me the best, you know?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Jamin, I asked Ali in his first interview, I'll ask you too, because you were around. In fact, I think your first title reign was directly after WWE pulled out of OVW. What were the differences in OVW after WWE pulled out, as far as you were concerned?
A big difference. I mean, okay, let's see how I can explain this.
Yeah, explain it, Damon.
You know, we were, you know, at the time when WWE was here, guys like me and Ali were really fighting for a spot, you know, just to, you know, we weren't under contract or anything. So, but, you know, actually, if it wasn't for Al Snow, and I would really like to credit Al for this. I mean, Al had enough faith in us, and he still gave us opportunities even during those hard times. Because, you know, during those times, you'd be lucky if you got on TV. You were lucky if you you're going, you know, if you're going up against anyone, and if you were going up against anyone, you're going to get killed, you know, and that was just the way it was. And actually, for the first couple of years, when Al gave me an opportunity, that's what it was for me. It was just me getting killed. And what ended up happening was, for me personally, I ended up getting over, and then Al had to throw the tag titles on me and TJ Dalton then. And then the same thing when I was going to win, or when I won the television title at my first reign, I beat Casey James. The week after they pulled out. So, you know, when that happened, there was a bit of a difference. You know, there was also confusion. You know, a lot of us guys who, you know, when WWE, we were there for WWE, you know. So that was the whole point of being in OVW for us. So when WWE pulled out, the question was, what do we do? You know, what do we... Do we stick around here? Do we? I mean, this is for me at least. I can't speak for Ali, but do I stick around here? Do I, you know, do I go to Florida? You know, what the fuck do I do? So when I, you know, and you know, of course, we had a talk with Danny, and we decided to stay, and it was I thought we were doing well on its own actually for the first. For the first maybe 6 months, I think we did well, and then it started dying, and then, you know, went through that time when there was, like, nobody coming, and we were, like, wrestling in front of, like, 20 people. It was really, really rough for a while. A lot of us believed in our work, and we had such pride in what we did, and I think, you know, I think that persistence and that drive really ended up paying off to where we're at now today, where... You know, OVW is in a lot better position, and you know, people are making a little bit more money these days. You know.
And Jamin, I've heard stories. Maybe you can go into much detail. We don't want more detail if you want, but I've heard you had some near misses with going to the WWE. Can you tell me about that a little bit?
I had some what? I'm sorry.
Some near misses of being signed by the WWE. You were almost signed. Is that true?
Yeah. WWE. The relationship I've had with WWE. Geez, over the past 5 years has been back and forth. You know, even to this day, they're still giving me opportunities. I think they're interested in me. I think it's just, it's a big man's world, you know, and I'm not a big man. And looking at it from a business standpoint, that's the reality for me. However, as a performer, the only thing I can do is better my performances. So, you know, you'll definitely be seeing me there. Same thing with TNA. TNA's been knocking on my door, too, you know. It's just you're getting opportunities. You know, as long as I'm getting opportunities, I don't care, you know. So if you don't want me now, that's fine. You're going to end up, you know, wanting me. But I'll tell this to a girl, and I'll tell this to both big companies right now. You love me, you just don't know it yet. So.
Well, one thing about you is you're not – especially tall guy, but when you get in the ring, you project as being really big in the ring. You really project a big aura in the ring. You know, I noticed that.
Thanks. Well, you know, that to me, that's just confidence. You know, I have a lot of confidence in what I do, and I have a lot of confidence in who I am in and out of the ring, you know. So if that shines through and you see that, then great, you know, and other people see it too. You know, they have no other choice. You know, I consider myself a very hard worker, and, you know, no one can ever take that away from me, whether something great happens for me or not in the future. But you know what? I'm also a progressive guy, too. You know, someday I'd like to do Hollywood. You know, I did stunts for Dukes of Hazzard. A lot of people don't know that. But there's a lot of other outlets that are out there that I can always do, you know. Just wrestling just so happened to be the thing that I fell in love with, you know, since I was a child. So that's why I stick with it. But, you know... As far as my progression goes and my confidence and, you know, all that stuff, it's always going to shine through no matter what. And, you know, like I said, I'm very, very persistent. If I want something, I'll get it. So, you know, as far as seeing me in the big time someday, you'll definitely see me there. There's no question about that. Not at all.
Well, I've mentioned to people before that you would be, like, perfect for Ring of Honor. You just got that tenacious, hard-hitting bulldog style. I think you would just be tailor-made for those guys.
I'm also in brief talks with Ring of Honor right now too. You know, there's that opportunity too. Right now there's a lot of different things, probably more than ever. And I'm sure I can speak for Ali too in that sense. But right now we're getting more opportunities than ever. So you know, as long as they keep coming, and if the option's right and if the time is right, I'll do it. If it's not, then, you know, I'll just move on to the next thing, you know. There's really – so as far as that's concerned, right, I think right now the stars are aligning and we're setting ourselves to be up in a good position.
If they need a fake version, they know who to call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ollie really needs to work on that accent.
Yeah.
I know, geez.
Well, let me ask you, Ollie, what is your take on the Benny Bray and Taryn Shea pregnancy storyline in OVW? What is your take on that whole thing?
I love it, Trent. I love it. I love it. Here's my thoughts in a nutshell, is that Ben is like a little brother to me, and this is real life. He's a kid that I met the very first day he came to OVW. He came to a television taping, and he came to a party that one of the boys in the locker room had that night, and I've taken a liking to that kid ever since. He is the true... In the truest sense, especially when he was 18 years old, he was Napoleon Dynamite. Like, just the awkward, incredibly nervous guy. And coming from where he was, I mean, he grew up in a small town in Indiana, and he found himself immersed with people that he watched on television. So he was very nervous and this and that. But I took a huge liking to Ben, and I've given him advice over the years and so on and so forth. But Ben's the kind of guy who, he's a very intelligent guy, and he's busted his butt, too, over the last few years, training with Rip and whatnot, but it would never seem to click for him. Like, people didn't really care. He was just another guy in tights. And I think this is the testament to Al Snow's genius, is that now people care about Ben. Now women go nuts in the crowd when he comes out, and it's because he was portrayed in a manner which is very true to life. And that is what you're seeing unfolding. Now, I don't think Ben's knocked up any girls in real life, but the whole thing about just being like the ladies' guy and this and that and so on and so forth, that is Mr. Bray for sure. And it's been awesome to watch this awkward 18-year-old goofy kid develop into a man in his young 20s who is much more confident and can pretty much charm the pants off of any woman under the age of 25.
what do the women see in Benny Bray exactly, would you say, Ali? What is the appeal of the Bray?
Are you talking about real life, or are you talking about on the show?
Either one. Take your pick.
Either one? I can't give away all of Ben's secrets. As he likes to say, he has to Bray Fabe a lot of these
Fabe,
concepts,
huh?
Bray Fabe. But at the same time, you know, Ben's a good-looking kid. He looks a lot like, who's that goof that's, like, making music videos right now who's 16 or whatever? Justin Bieber. Yeah,
Bieber?
He has a similar quality to that Justin Bieber kid who is, like, over with 14-year-old girls. So Ben, I think, has that appeal to him. And if you ever talk to him, he's a very intelligent guy. Extremely intelligent.
Yeah,
so I think
almost too
people
intelligent.
Actually,
almost too intelligent.
Yeah, when people get a chance to talk to him and they see, I mean, if you judge him based on just what he does in the wrestling business, especially before this whole pregnancy thing, then you're not getting a real accurate sense whatsoever of who he is as a person. But, you know, you know how women are, man. You got a nice smile, and you're slightly awkward and goofy, and they can identify with that. So they love them, man. Next thing you know, they're poking holes in condoms, you know, trying to get them for life. It happens.
Well, Jamin, I know you only care about your own shit, but I got to ask you about the Benny Bray thing. This may be one you're glad you're not involved with, but go ahead. What's your take on Benny Bray?
what was my thoughts on Benny Bray?
Yeah, and the pregnancy angle. What's your take? I know it's not your angle, but what's your take?
No, I still have my opinions, but you know, I think he's a whore. I think he's getting way too much. I think it was cool, man. I really do. I think it's brilliant. I really do. I think it's smart, and I think that shows a bit of his personality too, of how, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The way he handles the situations. Tell you what, I've seen Ben in a lot of situations, but it comes through on camera quite real, so it probably is real, that's why. So I like it. You know, I like a lot of things that OVW is doing. I think OVW, in my opinion, is the best product out there right now, you know. I think everyone's doing a great job, and everyone's working hard. You know, there's a return of Cliff Compton too. He brings life to the table. He has a charisma to him, and he has an energy to him as well that is helping the product. You know, like I said, I'm really big. My personal thoughts on Chris Silvio. I think this guy is a future star too. You know, I can look at another short guy, and you know, if you see charisma in them and you see potential, you know, that's that's always good, and I think he's also a rising star right now too. You know, everyone collectively is doing a great job, I think. So, and I'm into OVW. I'm into it. You know, that's probably why I haven't left. You know, so in
what OVW is, you got several storylines going at once, and when you're a fan, that's great. You know what I mean? And you guys kind of follow through on them too. So you know, it doesn't. That's what I was thinking about, you know, the crappy wrestling nowadays is somebody will start a story and they won't follow it through. You guys. You start something most of the time, you'll see it through to the end. And when you're a fan, boy, that means a lot to a fan. So, you know, see something through. And
absolutely.
Let it cook. Let it cook properly and then serve it up. You know, that's what I want. So, go ahead, Ollie.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out that we were talking about the Ben Bray thing, and I think this is where Al really helps us as far as our product goes, is that he has the ability to take people's natural qualities and to take people's certain mannerisms and whatnot, and to be able to project that in the world of wrestling in a sense where it allows people to identify with characters and to eventually get them over. And that's exactly what you're saying with the Ben Brace pregnancy storyline angle, is exactly that. It's shades of Ben's actual personality and real life events that have occurred with him, and projecting that into his wrestling persona, which then anybody can understand and identify with, and that's why he's getting the reaction that he is, and that's why we're talking about Ben Bray on this podcast, where a year ago I don't think he would have come up at all. So it's a testament
He's come up all right.
Yeah, definitely. But it's a testament, again, to the genius that is Al Snow, and to the value of being at OVW and being able to immerse yourself in this and learn from a guy like this, that if he can get anybody over with the right amount of time, and how does he do that? And then that, I think, is something that's going to benefit us and our careers to come for years.
Larry, your thoughts on Ben Bray and Terrence
Shane? What this is bringing up for me is, speaking of offbeat storylines, what about Tony Gunn's twisted obsession with Johnny Spade?
My question is, the Johnny Spade fetish?
Yeah.
Yes. My question is, does the Tony Gunn on the show have shades of the Tony Gunn in real life? God, I hope not.
Right.
Really? Oh, my God.
Well, you know, Tony's an awesome guy, man. I mean, he's the most laid-back guy, but I didn't really know Tony. When he came, he wasn't one of the guys that had gone through the school, so to speak. So we didn't really know him at all, and I think once he started getting comfortable, he started showing what he's capable of, and I think he's hitting a home run with this creepy stalker-type dude that he's portraying. I mean, I'm watching it. It's good TV, I think. I mean, I love the fact that he's gay-obsessed with Johnny Spade for a number of reasons. But
you're saying he's gay? No,
not at all. His persona, I mean, how else would you describe it, Trent? He's carrying a teddy bear around with him.
Yeah,
but,
I'm not sure.
That's the intrigue. Why is he so obsessed with Johnny Spade?
Right.
Does he want to be his tag team partner? Does he want to be his tag team partner in life? I mean, you don't know. You don't know. But you got to stay tuned.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I thought the sniffing his gear, that was just genius.
I mean, it's just too much. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Go ahead, Jamin. What were you saying?
About Tony Gunn, Johnny Spade.
Yeah. Did you have anything to add?
I'll add a little bit to it, I guess. Here's what I'll add to it. I think it's going to be interesting, so I'll say that
much. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I don't even know where it's going, but you know, I do enjoy kind of paying attention to this one. So we'll see where it goes, you know.
And that's the thing. If anybody listening to this has not checked out OVW, this is what you're missing. You know, fun storylines like this, and good wrestling, and good young talent. And they upload a new show every single Monday at OVWrestling.com. So there's no reason not to watch it, or you can go on there and buy DVDs and check out a live event if it's, you know, if you're close to Louisville area or anywhere in up in Indiana, too, in East Kentucky. So, but if nothing else, watch the show every Monday because, God, why not? You know, it's fun stuff to watch. Jamin, I want
to
ask
you got something for everybody. You know, I mean, you've got the more classic kind of storylines with Jason Wayne, and then you got the sheer wackiness. There's something for everybody there.
Yeah, it brings a great variety.
And not to mention that they got a ladies division. I mean, Lady JoJo is a heck of a good champion, in my opinion. You know, I mean, I would have loved to have seen Lady JoJo versus Mickey Knuckles in about a 10 or 15 minute match. They never let them have a long match. But now Taylor Hendricks is on the horizon. Got a tag team division that's got its own. I don't think a tag team division is deep, but there's always somebody popping up on the horizon, and the Elite can, you know, I think the Elite needs couples therapy myself. They just cannot get along. But still, interesting stuff going on, you know. So I did want to ask you, Jamin, what is the significance of the jerseys you wear? What are those?
Well, you know, I let's put it this way. I'm the biggest player in the game today. You know, I look at myself as the top guy in the business, you know. whether you see me in WWE, OVW, TNA, AWE, it's really ROH, it doesn't matter. I'm the top guy in the game right now today. So the jersey, what it means to me is, you know, it shows that I'm one of the hardest working guys. You know, I am a true player, and I will go out there and play, and I will play hard, and I will take over, and I will steal the show, and I will make you look stupid, all probably in one night. So no, that's the purpose of the jersey. It really represents who I am, and I think as I evolve into myself more, I'm finding tons of things that I enjoy, you know, and that I like to present to the table, you know. So the jersey to me, that's what it means. The significance of the number 26. Well, I'm in my 26th year of life, so that's if you're looking for the answer to that, there you go, you know. So I've always been an athlete my whole life. I've always been very good at whatever I did. So basically, that's what it all represents, you know. It's all part of me, you know. And I'm more and more I get to go out there and perform each and every week, the more and more I get to go out there and be myself more, you know, which at one point, I mean, years ago, I didn't really have the chance to do, or should I say I did, but I didn't really evolve, you know, and right now I'm evolving, so I'm enjoying that, you know.
And when I first started going to OVW, the dog pound was already in effect. How did the dog pound thing get going? Was that you or was that the fans that started it? The initial
bar. A lot of the things I do is kind of a joke to myself, and it just so happens to get over sometimes, you know. And I went out there. I used to bark all the time, you know. I used to take these spin classes, and I would just bark in class, you know. People kind of laugh or whatever, but it's just when I get into something, sometimes I just bark, you know. And you know, so that's an example. Just when I get into something. So when I did it one night, the next week, I believe, I came out there and people were barking at me. So we I guess it had a short run, you know. But you know, same thing with Jamin Olivencia too. When I say my name, I used to do that in gym class as a kid, actually. I should just say my name like that over and over again. I used to annoy people. And I used it in wrestling one time, and it just seemed to work. So, you know, I guess a lot of things you see from me. And trust me, here's the scary part about me. I've got tons more of those type of things that are in my back pocket that I have not even remotely brought out. So Ali probably knows, too. But you know, we'll let that just
evolve.
Well,
go ahead and give us one. Go ahead and give us one you haven't given us yet.
To come up with it on the fly would be would not be artistic of me. I think that's just something that has to kind of come out, you know?
It could show that you can work, though, Jamin.
Huh?
It could show that you can work, though, coming up with it on the fly, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, that goes in the same category as you showing that you're a real person and me talking about an accent.
Well, now, I did want to ask you, too, Jamin, like most OVW storylines, like I said, they're almost always seen through, but one with you that was dropped was the concussion thing they had you doing for a while. Why was that dropped? They had you kind of, you know.
With Ali? The concussion with Ali? When I was working with Ali?
Yeah, yes.
Well, I don't think it was dropped. Was it dropped, Ali?
Well, it seems like,
I remember I ended up getting a concussion. Which was karma, I guess, but
you know
what it is we did the concussion thing, and then we tied my shoulder injury into it. I had the shoulder injury. Is that what I don't even remember. This was last summer.
So much stuff always happens that you don't even know.
Jamin might not be cleared to wrestle, and he was kind of holding his head and staggering, and then it just kind of went away. It never really saw through, and now. It ain't quite the same thing, but now they got Shiloh Jones, you know, kind of similar.
To take on that role. Right. You know, I don't recall what had happened. But, like, this is what I was talking about earlier. When you asked me, you know, when you go to these places, you know, how far in advance do you know? Sometimes, that's what I was explaining. Like, sometimes things just change. That's showbiz, you know. Sometimes, you know, you go to wrestling and you think you're going to do this, and you're really not, you know. So that goes to show you how fast things change on the fly, you know. But to me, that's fun. I like that stuff, you know.
Oh, I remember now. That was right when Jimmy took over. Was it not?
Okay. When Cornette, yeah.
That's why that was dropped.
Yeah,
I think usually if something is dropped like that, it's got everything to do with either a change in the helmet, who's writing the show, or just it's not working or something like that. And in that case, I'm pretty sure this was right around the time that Jimmy was in the locker room observing, not necessarily putting his hands into it yet. And when he put his hands into it, he kind of spinned it in the direction that he saw it going.
Yeah, I think that's right, actually.
He's right. I think you're right about that.
Okay, guys, well, let's start wrapping this up. This has been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed having you guys on. Now, Larry, you have anything you want to cover that I missed? Or?
Well, I just had one question for Jamin. I've seen few people in wrestling, that performers that had the kind of tenacity and intensity that you bring. What is it? Can you speak a little bit about what you think it is in your background or where that comes from inside of you that you're able to do that?
You know, I'm a very, very emotional person, and I appreciate, let's put it this way, I'm a big believer in God, and I appreciate my life, and I appreciate the air I'm breathing right now as we speak. So I think a lot of who I am when I'm out there, when intensity is just my pure emotion, my pure love for everything, you know. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm some freaking crazy guy or anything that goes out there and, you know, goes out there and looks to kill people, but I think it just shows my love and passion in general, you know, and I can always channel that no matter what. Just even being here on the phone with you guys or doing this interview and or going out performing or doing anything, you know, it doesn't matter, cutting a promo. It's always just my emotion, and it's my excitement, and it's my passion, you know. And I think that comes from, you know, growing up in a very loving family and, you know, people who are supportive and, you know, loving and caring. And I think that just I think that's always shining through in my work. I think that's what really stands me out from anybody else is my ability to do that. You know, so you know, I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful I'm doing it, and I thank God every day that I'm doing it. You know, and I'm glad in the process that, you know, people notice that and, you know, might be inspired by it or entertained by it or maybe even hate me for it. You know, either way, it's as long as it's getting a reaction, that's all I care about. You know.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, guys, this has been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot, enjoyed it. Jamin, you got anything you want to plug before we roll out of here?
Yeah, go check out my me and Paradise's T-shirt line. It's www.beyondclothing, that's B-Y-O-N-D-E, and then clothing. If you can't spell that, then there's something wrong with you, .com. pick up a shirt, check it out. We, Paradise has got tons of more designs coming out, so that's a growing business right now as we speak. We have a lot of stores interested in purchasing them in mass, so that's an exciting little project that we have going on right now. And I just wanted to thank you guys for having me, and thanks, Ali, for hanging on the phone with me. It's not like you don't do this on a daily basis or anything. If you could speak a little bit more Persian, I'd appreciate it, though.
Just so you know, Jamin, I politicked with Trent all week to try to get you fired as the first guest on this show.
He did, but I wouldn't have it. I wouldn't have it because I wanted the man that had the best match of the AEW pay-per-view on my show. So.
Yeah.
Wow. And then Ali. Ali could have done it. Here's the thing, Trent. Ali could have definitely been successful.
I know.
If only he had a Persian accent or at least I bet he could have stole the show, but hey, I guess that's for another time. Hey,
I should never have shaved that beard.
I'm not trying to start nothing, but OVW talent had three matches at that pay-per-view, and they went 2-1, So Silva won, Alavencia won, Baez, well, he tried.
Yeah, well,
Well, one thing you can say about Muhammad Ali Baez is that he doesn't have the best win-loss record, but he gets the reaction he wants every single time.
Yes, he does.
That's how you know he's the man. That's how you know you're the man, when you're getting reactions.
Yes, he does. Well, Ali, you got anything you want to plug?
No, just stay tuned. You're going to be seeing a lot of Muhammad Ali Baez. I've got a couple projects that are non-wrestling related that are coming to the forefront very soon. And, also on the wrestling front, things are looking very good. So I think by this time next year, the entire American population will know that Muhammad Ali Baez is indeed Persian.
Wow. The entire American population.
I look forward
maybe
to
not the entire, but I'd say, a good 50% at least. Those who have access to cable television. How about that?
Yeah, you'll be seeing Ali doing some big things, guys. He's such a talented speaker. I don't know if you guys couldn't tell already just based off talking to him. He inspires me to be a better speaker. But this guy knows how to put himself in situations and make the best out of opportunities. So you'll definitely be seeing him in a non-probably wrestling capacity in the near future.
And I think OVW this week, coming weekend, Friday, around Indianapolis, Noblesville, Indiana, Saturday, Clarksville, Indiana. November 5th, if you're in the area, Ring of Honor TV tapings at the Davis Arena. November 12th is the next Saturday night special. And, of course, every Wednesday night at Davis Arena is the OVW TV tapings. So if you're in the area, check them out. And like I said, if not, go to OVWrestling.com and check out the TV episodes uploaded brand new every Monday, or buy a DVD. And, Larry, anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Not really.
Okay. Well, guys,
our next
show.
Our next show is what I want to plug.
Our next show, as it stands right now, I believe will be Sunday, November 13th at 2 p.m. is our plan. It could change, but that's the plan right now. Ali, can you do November 13th at 2 p.m.? I'm going to get you on the spot right now.
I can, absolutely, because it'll be the day after I squash somebody at Saturday Night Special. So,
exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, sounds good. Well, that's the plan. We'll keep checking GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the next show, where we'll post it in the needed places so people will know what's around. And like I said, one more time, guys, thank you very much for doing this. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thanks for having us.
All right. Have a good day, everybody.
All right.
All right.
See you next time, folks. Thanks. Bye. Life is too short for crappy wrestling.
thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, the latest news on pro wrestling and MMA, and more. GWH thanks you for your support.